Thank the Lord tonight for each one that's here.
It is.
Good evening to everybody.
Good evening.
We've seen some of you down at Pequoma.
Yes.
And you was kind enough to ask if I was going to be when I was coming to Fresno, however you worded it. Well, here I am.
Thank the Lord.
So we're glad to be here.
Thank the Lord.
There's three ministers in the state of California that's lost their companions, and there's me in the middle part of the country lost my companion.
Yes.
And I have a burden. I'm an advocate for those that are in grief.
Yes.
I just want to say that you cannot be kind enough, loving enough, considerate enough to those that are in grief.
Amen.
They're hurting.
Yes.
There are sometimes they don't hardly know which way to go and what to do. Now, I'm going to say that your pastor has spoken most highly of the way you're treating her.
Amen.
I thought that sounds good.
Amen.
That sounds good. So I want to encourage you, keep it up.
Yes.
Because she's got a little ways to go yet. I also understand that the Lord's blessing Fresno. I like good reports. I'm going to say we've been in, this is my 10th meeting since the middle of April, plus all the other things I've been doing. And the Lord has been blessing in meetings from coast to coast. He's stirring things up. He's calling people to preach. And maybe some song singers and whatever. But it's been working.
Thank the Lord.
And we desire that that fervor and fire keep going. One young minister just started ministering in a place. He told me, he said, Lord's working down here, Brother Carl. He's working down here. I said, good. Because I've been real concerned that the Lord really stirred them up down there.
Yes.
Monarch was good. I mean, we just had some good meetings. Just point blank, wonderful. Some of the best preaching that you could about ask for on pastoral line, evangelistic line, the Lord has been pouring it out. Now then, we're here.
Yeah.
And it ain't me that's here. We want him here.
Yeah.
We need him here in Fresno. We need him to bless this meeting just as much as he has all the others.
Yeah.
So we desire your prayers tonight that he'll have mercy upon us and help us. We have something on our heart that we want to share with you, but I'm going to need the Lord to help us to do it. Let's go to the 24th chapter of Matthew. Thank you. 24th chapter of Matthew is where we'll start. This is not my text. Now, I just got out of revival in Brother Larry Abbott's congregation in Springfield, Ohio. My throat's a little bit raspy. Of course, it's been a little bit raspy for several years, the way I treat the poor thing. It don't just get pampered and patted all the time. It gets a pretty good workout when I get in the pulpit. But I felt like he kept it balanced in that meeting, and I don't know how many times I'll minister here, but I need him to help the same way here. 24th chapter of Matthew, and about the 12th verse, it says, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now, what I want to talk about tonight is how much we love God. Our love for the Lord. But we got a problem tonight. Iniquity's abounding in this world and in this country. It's abounding in an alarming way. And consequently, there's people, and I'm not talking about totally the church itself, but I'm talking about the whole scope of everything. The love that people have had for God has gone downhill. It's not what it used to be. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But it can creep in among us. You and I may not or could have this thing affect us and us not have the love that we had. And that's what I want to deal with tonight. We need to love God. We need to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter here. Deuteronomy 6 and 5. I love this reading right in here. Well, let's go 6 and 3. It said, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey."
Yes.
It said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Another place in the New Testament, I think it says, thy mind also. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be a frontlet before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now it said here, the love of the Lord thy God. Well, now let's back up a little bit. It said, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. If there's anything people like, it's blessings.
Yeah.
They want to be blessed.
Yeah.
They want God to bless them. Even people out there in the world, they like to be blessed.
Yeah.
They like to have good things, and you and I like to have good things.
Yeah.
But in some ways, as far as the church is concerned, there's some connotations or connections to that to help you and I to bless God too. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. That, if you dig that down a little bit, that means glorify God. Well, you and I need to glorify God. We need to bless Him. We need to lift Him up. We need to exalt Him. We need to do things for Him because He's God, see? And we need to love Him with all of our heart. That's the way to get people's attention. If you and I will love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our mind, everything about us tonight, if we'll love God, is all that we can do that. It'll get people's attention. People need to know that God is love. He needs to know that He is the one Lord. He's the one that you and I set a center, our love to, our affection to, everything about us to. And consequently, when we do that, they're going to look at that and say, that person loves God.
Yes.
Love is an intense affectionate concern for another person.
Yes.
A beloved person. A strong liking or enthusiasm for something. Brother Austin Wilson had this in a book that I read, a pamphlet, whatever. It said, true love will cause one to think more of what he can give than what he can give.
Yes.
Now, God give all for you and I.
Yes.
We need to give all back.
Yes.
Give it all to Him. God gave His only Son that you and I can have what we got tonight. If the Lord hadn't have come, if He hadn't have loved us enough to do the life and to die the death to bring about a plan of salvation, you and I wouldn't have what we got tonight. We'd probably be out the gutters of sin and we'd be roaming around and lost and undone. But tonight the Lord has been kind to us because He gave His Son, and Jesus was kind enough to come because He loved us and loved us with a true love. So, He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Yes.
To love God with all your heart means to love Him and Him alone.
Lord.
Nothing compares to Him. We're ready to give up, do, or suffer anything in order to please or to glorify Him. Now, when a person, when two people fall in love, man with a woman with man, the only one they're interested in is that person. Everybody else loses out. Now, people may try to tap into that, but if the love is strong enough between those two, no matter if a man would show up or a woman would show up on the outside of this couple, so to speak, now follow my thought process here, if they would show up and try to tempt, those that are in love is going to let them know, you get lost. You get away from me. I don't have nothing to do with you. I'm not interested in you. I like them. I want them. I'm interested in them. I'm falling for them. Get away from me. Nothing compares to anybody but the one they're in love with. And that's the way you and I need to be with God. They love the people, the devil, the world, our family. They need to see that we're zeroing in on one person, and that's God and Christ. That we love Him. We're interested. We're willing to give our life for Him. We're willing to do the things that He wants us to do. This will separate the men and the boys and the girls and the women. The bottom line, if we're willing to do what God says He wants us to do, that will begin to separate. We love Him enough. He says, I want you to go. We'll go. I want you to stay. We'll stay. I want you to do this. Even mediocre thing, And what I mean by that, it may be giving out tracts or giving out pamphlets or making phone calls. But then there's the callings and the missionary and the pastoral and the evangelism. When we love God enough, we're willing to do what He asks us to do.
Amen.
Go where He wants us to go. All right, to love God with your life, who is ready to give up life for His sake, to endure all sorts of torments, and to be deprived of all sorts of comforts than to dishonor God.
Yes.
Now, here's where it can get a little bit sticky. When it gets down to the point of laying your life down sometimes, some people want to back up on that.
Yes.
But the Lord wants you and I to be willing to consecrate right on down to death.
Yes.
And say, Lord, Thy will be done. I'll die for You if You want me to die. I'll give my life up. I'll trust You all the way to the end. I'll be the example You want me to be. Lord, Thy will be done. Listen, folks, tonight, we're not going to die till God's ready for us to die. Brother Ed Wilson, he let me know. He said, I knew when the Lord touched my heart. He said He touched me right in the chest and began to change things. He said it happened right then. Listen, there's saints probably right here tonight can tell you that they were sick, maybe nigh to death, but the Lord touched them. I know of cases that went right down to death's door and they're alive today. And it wasn't nothing but the power of God that come in that room and touched them. One time, Rebecca, after she had her first child, she was having some problems. And they called me. I was up at Guthrie. I'd left. She'd doing better, I believe it was. So I went to camp meeting, had somebody caring for her. They was giving me a little bit of a break and went up there and they called and they said, we need you. We need the ministers. We need you to come. So I started gathering them together. And here we're going to come down and pray for her. And I called back. I said, how you doing? She said, Jesus has already beat you guys down here, praise God. He done got there first, praise the Lord. Wasn't exactly the way she said it, but the bottom line, He's done come by. He's done blessed me and helped me. I don't mind you all coming. You can come and pray, but Jesus has already been here. Listen, folks, tonight, He's quicker, faster, powerful, and stronger than anybody else, and He can do anything that we need Him to do.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Oh, praise God.
Yes.
How much do we love Him tonight? How much are we willing to trust Him? How far are we willing to go? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. This right here will take care of the part where iniquity shall abound and the love of many will wax cold. We won't wax cold, we'll wax hot.
Yes.
We won't wax cold and backslide, we'll go on and get closer to God. Because the Lord wants us to reach out. He wants us to pull on Him, to honor and respect Him, and do everything we can do to be blessed of God. All right, let's go to Song of Solomon. In studying on this, I discovered something I don't remember ever seeing. It probably did. You can read the Word for so many years, and you can get new blessings out of it all the time. Thank the Lord.
That's right.
It's far better than any other book I've ever read.
Amen.
Okay, the eighth chapter of... No, the fifth chapter of the Song of Solomon. We'll start reading on the ninth verse. No, I want the eighth verse, 5 and 8. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I'm sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved? What thou doest so charge up. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lily dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, He is altogether. Listen to what this said. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. I got to reading that and I got excited. This, now I'm not going to go into all the difference. I don't have time to break it all down, whatever one of these words means and stuff like that. But number one, it said here in the 8th verse, you tell him that I'm sick of love. In other words, I am lovesick. Can people say that you're lovesick with Jesus tonight? Can they charge you with that and say, I know him. Why, he just plumb crazy for Jesus. I know her and she plumb crazy. They ain't got no sense anymore. They're just lovesick, just crazy. Listen, folks, when two people fall for each other, forget everybody else. It's the same way with the Lord. The Lord wants you and I to be so in love with Christ that nothing else matters but him, praise God. And so, then they asked her, why is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women. Listen, folks, tonight, why is our beloved worth more? What is he like? Why do we fall in love with him? It made the statement over there, said in Isaiah, let it be known that he's not one to be desired, had no beauty or having said. But the bottom line is, when you begin to fall in love with Christ, he's far above anything else, praise God. He far exceeds anything else. Listen, there are people that have done all they can do when the Lord begins to deal with them and call them. Or maybe he wasn't even seeking them or calling or convicting them. Maybe they decided they wanted to get saved and they went after him. Because they saw something. Oh, tonight, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Why is he so beloved to you and I tonight? What would you tell somebody if they come up and they want to get saved and say, well, you fall in love with this Christ. Why do you love him? What would you tell them? What would you tell them tonight? Would you go through the list of this right here? It said his mouth is both sweeter. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Listen, he's a friend that sticketh closer to brother. He's the one that has done more for you and I than anybody else, praise God. He saved us. He delivered us. He healed us. He's done all kinds of things to lift us up and to bless us far beyond anybody. Listen, he makes the devil way down the line because of the glory of God and the power of Jesus. They've done things for you and I that nobody else has done, praise God. Why do I love him? Because he's altogether lovely. Why do I love him? Because he is beautiful. Lovely, darling, sweet. He talks to me in the night. He talks to me in the day. When I was going through my heart grief, he took my sweetheart. He took that one that I'd been married to for 30 years, but he had her first. She belonged to him before he gave her to me. But he took her, see? But I had him before I had her too. We both had the same situation. So consequently, the one that I was married to, my first companion, so to speak, when you boil it down, he's the one that comes to the rescue. And he helped me. And he blessed me. And he comforted me. And he done things that left me totally stunned over and over and over. For instance, I was bereaving her age one morning. She was 59, just almost 1 month short of 60. Somebody said, well, she wasn't a youngster. No, she wasn't, but she wasn't an old person either. Amen. And I was only 19 days older than her. And I had stayed out at the chapel that night. Another brother was down there, and for the first month, I didn't stay by myself at all. I was with somebody, or my daughter was home, and so forth. But I was going up the road, and I got on this bawling and squalling over Becky about her age. And the Lord just stopped me. And he said, child, age does not matter to me. It's eternity that counts, praise God. I'm going to tell you, I've got my eyes off of mine, and I got them on him, and I got to thinking, everything he done, he started her out when she was a teenager. He kept her all the way through by his grace. Listen, folks, tonight, it's eternity that counts tonight. It's Jesus, our love to him. She kept her love for him, and she died with him, and she had the biggest old smile on her face when she departed out of here. Oh, tonight, it's eternity that counts. I'm going to tell you tonight, he took over and over. He touched my heart. Yeah. Touched my soul. Yeah. Lifted me up. Sister Sherry can say the same thing. Brother Paul can say the same thing. I started grieving for her in November before she died in January. And I didn't know exactly at that point I was going to lose her. But he did tell me at one point, he said, what if I want to take her? He did. To my bereavement, he did. But why is my beloved? My beloved is white, ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. He said, I'm the King of Kings and I'm the Lord of Lords. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He's got everything we need, heart, soul, mind, and body today. And that's the reason he's so lovely. That's the reason we love him so. That's the reason we reach out to him, praise God. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. Was at a funeral the other day. The woman that I cleaned for, her husband died. He was a minister, had been for many, many years. And he died, and the children, the boy and the girl, the son and the daughter, they needed my help. So they called me. And Dan, the son, he questioned me. He said, now I'm going to need, can you do just different things? And I said, well, I'm a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. I said, I think I can take care of Mrs. Maxwell. I don't think there'll be too much problem. And she had backups. If I couldn't do it, there's other people better than me, and they could do it. But anyway, he had a wife, two boys. The grandma was quite fond of her grandsons, and they're fine young men. The son has a business. He has home in Florida. He has another in Massachusetts near Boston, out on Cape Cod. He has a very successful business in Cape Cod, and he got up and talked about his own mother. And he kept referring to his wife. And you know what he said about it? He said, my lovely, darling wife, something like that. It touched me. Now, she's an attractive woman. I'm not saying she's not. But he was adamantly letting it be known, this is mine.
Yeah.
We need to let the world know this Jesus is my lovely Jesus. He's the one that has done these things for me, and I love him tonight. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I'll give my all for him. All right, let's go to the 8th chapter. Let's see, the 8th chapter here and the 6th verse, I believe it is, of Song of Solomon. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. But it said, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Listen, this type of love goes beyond, the right type of love for Christ goes beyond everything else. It'll hold us. If the floods are raging, whatever it might be, it'll hold us and secure us and keep us exactly where the Lord wants us. Now, he gives grace. I'm not saying that. But the bottom line is, it's still our love for him is going to count strongly when the vehemency of the trials and the tribulations, the sicknesses, the lack of work, the lack of finance, or whatever it might be, he's right there, and you and him have got a connection because of your love to him. All right, let's go to John 14. St. John 14. I want to read three scriptures here, 15, 21, and 23. 14, 15 of good St. John said, if you love me, keep my commandments. 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I love him and manifest myself to him. And then 23 said, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, one way a companion knows that another companion loves them, if they're willing to do for them. Husbands say, oh, I love you a whole bunch. And she said, would you take the trash out for me? He said, no, I'm too busy. Can't do that. I'm not interested in doing that. There was a story I've heard about a young man that was in love with a woman. This is back in the horse and buggy day. And so he told her one day, he said, well, I'd climb the highest mountain to come see you. Or I'd swim a big old lake to come see you. Say, if it don't rain on Sunday, I'll be by. Doesn't look like you had a lot of love, does it? Oh, today, if you and I love God, if we love Him with the love of the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and body, if we shall ask, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is one way the Lord knows our love. He can look at it. He can consider it. They love me enough to do what I ask them to do, no matter what it is. Sometimes the things that He asks us right through the Word of God can be a little difficult, but when you boil it down, if you love Him enough, you'll do it.
Amen.
I'm willing to go. I'm willing to dress. I'm willing to do extra prayer. Brother Edward E. Searle, anybody heard of Ed Searle? Brother Ed Searle was in Guthrie when I started pastoring down there in 1987 in the fall. And on a Wednesday night, Brother Ed brought up a point. He said, people talk about giving 10% of their income. Now, this is tithing he's dealing with here. He said 10% of their income to the gospel work. He said, what about you and I giving 10% of our time to the Lord every day in reading and praying and so forth?
Yeah.
Now that would be, what, 2.4 hours a day? Some say, woo, I can't do that. Well, he threw out something good, though. The Lord, you know what He can do with us? I'm talking about the general church. I ain't talking about the ministers here. Because I give sometimes about all day to the Lord in studying and reading and so forth. I spend hours sometimes in preparing messages. The Lord works with us hours and hours, all of us, not just me, but it's different ministers or all the ministers. It takes time to put this all together and a lot of prayer. But if the general body would do that, what would that do to the general body, Sister Cherry? How much deeper could we be? How much more on fire could we be? How much more enlightened could we be? How much more blessed could we be? You're talking about some Wednesday night prayer meeting. It might really get fiery if the congregation done that.
Yeah.
2.4 hours per day given to the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. Then he said down here, he that loveth me again, he that hath thy commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Now then, if we love God, God's going to love us back. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Show himself to us. Help us to see Jesus Christ better than we've ever seen him. Help us to be able to get a greater understanding of what he does. Listen, folks, tonight, he wants to manifest himself to you and I. He wants us to see him. Listen, when a couple is interested in one another, they want to learn all they can about one another. Now, you can ask people about that person, but it's different when you're dealing with them, when you're going with them, when you're courting them and so forth. You see the reactions that they have. You see the different things that they go through and how they react to that and so forth. And it makes a difference. Well, the Lord wants us to go through things and He wants to manifest Himself to us where we can see Him in different angles and attitudes and situations. Where we can build a foundation of faith whereby we can have something we didn't have before. Deeper, broader, and greater.
Yes.
He will manifest himself. And then on down in the 23rd verse, he said he will come in and make his abode with him.
Yes.
Now, when marriage really begins is when you make your abode together. Mm-hmm. You get married, and you go off on your honeymoon, and you come back and you start living together. And there is where life really begins for a couple right there. That connection, as far as I mean, you're united in holy matrimony and so forth. But the bottom line is, you can do things and be involved in things as a couple, and you can do it together.
Yes.
Jesus wants to do things with us, and He wants us to do it together.
Yes.
He wants us to sit in heavenly places with Him. He wants to come down and bless us and help us in every way that we need, praise God. He wants to make His abode with you and I to move in and set up housekeeping and bless us, little folks. Bless us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 8 and 1. 1 Corinthians 8 and 1. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yes. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, charity edifies. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Now, this is basically, again, saying the very same thing. If we love Him, He's going to manifest Himself, make His abode with us. Oh, tonight, there has been men that have gone to far lengths to win a woman.
Yes.
Gone out of their way. Heard about one man that he started setting his, Brother Austin, as you say, set his cap for the woman that he married. And so he started in and he started calling her. And she kept telling him, I'm not interested in you. I don't want you. But he wouldn't quit. And he got her. Do you know how much time Jesus spent in getting you? How much He called you, convicted you, stirred you? How many weeks, how many days, how many months, how many years? Sometimes it takes years for God to win His bride over. But He don't quit. Well, if you and I will respond to that, that love is going to work both ways. When you're young and you fall in love, you don't think very far ahead. You're just about thinking of the moment. But you learn that to have a wonderful marriage, you must work on it. You must always keep your relationship up to date. Doing that, you must love one another. Forgive one another. You must keep good communication. Help one another. Back one another. Encourage each other. Be gentle and tender to each other. Listen to your mate. Be humble. Have a date night when possible. Be willing to admit to a mistake. Laugh at yourselves and be joyful. Leave love notes. There are times that when I was in the install working particularly, happened a little bit maybe in the gospel work, but Becky and I was usually always together in the gospel work. But it was install jobs that I'd go out by myself, and she would take love notes and stick them up in my socks. And I would open my socks maybe 2 or 3 days later when I'm out in Atlanta or Charlotte or Miami or wherever I'm going to be, and say, I love you. Don't you think I like that? Oh, I done things back to her too. It wasn't one-sided, folks, I guarantee you. I loved you. How many little things does the Lord do for us like that?
Yes.
What do you do for Him like that?
Yes.
All right. Now then, what about the Lord? Do we have to work at having a wonderful marriage with Him?
Yes.
You got to work at it when you're a couple. I mean, you don't think very far ahead, and all this is just going to be so easy and so forth, but you get into it, you find out it ain't quite as easy as you thought. Now, some marriages are a little easier than others. I've had people tell me point blank, said, Brother Carl, our marriage wasn't nothing like yours and Sister Rebecca's. I'm not bragging when I say that. I'm just telling you, there's some sad cases out there.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for what I had. I miss her terribly. But what... To have a wonderful marriage with Him, what do you do? What do you do to have that type of marriage? Pray.
Yeah.
Have humility. You have to forgive people. The reading of the Bible. Being in services and meetings or Bibles and so forth. Seeking His will. Reading good spiritual books. Having faith in God. Long suffering with Him. Keep His commandments. These are things that we got to do to have a wonderful marriage. Are we doing it? Are we doing it tonight? That's what the Lord's interested in. Are we doing it?
Yes.
All right, let's move to another angle. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Go back to Deuteronomy 13. I think it's the third verse. 13 and 3 is what I want. I want to talk about some people here out of the Bible. Well, 13 and 1 of Deuteronomy said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, wait a minute. Is that saying he's going to prove our love? That's exactly what it's saying. Start telling me who the Lord proved. What's one of the earliest ones in the Old Testament that the Lord proved his love? God proved it. You want to put it that way? Abraham. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, the Lord come along and let Abraham know that I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. Isaac was not a child. Isaac was about 30-something years old. They had a warm, loving father-son relationship, and the Lord said, I want you to give him to me. What did Abraham do? Did he go hide in the corner and say, well, I don't want to do that? There's some people want to fade out of reality. There's some people say, I don't want to do that. They go hide, and I can't do that. Abraham went right to work. He got what needed to be done, and he took off to take care of the program. And he got up there, and you know the rest of the story. He got up there, and the son asked him, Isaac asked him, where's the sacrifice? Well, the Lord provide that. So he gets up on the mountain, and he sets the altar in place, gets the wood in place. He binds his son, puts him on the deal, and he gets ready to slay. And the angel speaks to him. He said, don't do that. But the bottom line was, God had what he wanted. He had a person that was willing to do what he had him to do. And the bottom line was, Abraham loved God. What did God do centuries later? God come along and give his only begotten son. There's quite a similarity here between the two. And so consequently, tonight, if God would ask you to do something like that, would you be willing to do it? There's people that back up on a lot of stuff. But Abraham didn't back up. Nor did he drag his feet. Nor did he go hide in the corner. He took off and he done it. And he done it quickly. I got news for you. It wouldn't be easy to do what he done. It would not be. I had twin boys that we lost at 5 months old. Well, 5 months premature. We lost them. And that was hard. But this was a deal of 30-something-year-old son that they had on what? And not only that, it was his only son. It was a son that God had brought about when he thought there's no way I could have a son. He told the Lord, said, I can't have no child. Sarah, they said, I can't have nothing. Yeah. And the Lord done that. Listen today. There is times that you and I are going to be in tight places. But let me tell you something. The Lord is able to work if we love him enough. He blessed Abraham. What did he say? There is the sands of the seashore, whatever, stars, whatever. In other words, you're going to have children. Listen, folks, today, if we love God enough, there's people going to be watching us, and they can get saved and sanctified because of your love. Because of your reaching out. Because of your sacrifice. Listen today, we need to be willing to sacrifice for God. We need to be willing to give for God. I'm not talking about money here totally. I'm talking about our lives. I'm talking about our time. Be willing to sacrifice because we love God enough. And if he says, I want you to go, I want you to do, I want you to give of your time and so forth, do we love him enough like Abraham did to say, yes, sir, I'll do that. There was a minister told me, this has been a number of years ago, she was going home one night. She lived in Webb City, Missouri. You go through Joplin to get to Webb City when you're coming from I-44 and going north. And she was going fairly close to the hospital there in Joplin. And the Lord told her, said, I want you to go to the hospital. And she said, Lord, I don't know anybody in the hospital tonight. So she went on home and she got a call. And there was a person that was either a relative of hers or a good friend or something that needed her. The Lord was trying to get her to go by and be with them in their last moments. She didn't do it, and they died before she could get there. She didn't give like the Lord imprompted her to do. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's just impromptus of the Lord wanting us to do something, and we must love Him enough to do the short, quick things or the long, hard things. There's times that you get into situations that go on for a long time. It's not easy, but the Lord still wants you to love Him enough to be able to give that time. Lord, I love you tonight. All right, let's go to John 21. St. John 21. Let's look at this for a minute. Amen. I'll talk about Peter for a little bit here. About the 15th verse. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Lovest thou me?
Yeah.
And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now then, in the 15th verse here, he brings up the point. He said, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do we love the Lord more than these? Where iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There have been a lot of people that got to dabbling in things and their love began to wane. There's a couple that before Rebecca Ann passed, they were on Facebook, and Becky followed Facebook some, and I never have had a whole lot to do with it. I ain't got time, to be honest with you. I'm not totally against it like some people are, but I just don't have time to do it. And she would watch things, and in the evening when I would come home from work, and she would say, well, if there's a prayer request, she'd call me and say, hey, they need prayer right now, so-and-so. All right, thank you. If she'd see pictures or articles or stuff that would be interesting, she'd say, come back here, I want to show you something. Well, there was a couple. I love this young man to death, so to speak. I've worked with him. He and I have had a very close relationship. He got quite a jewel of a wife, but she wasn't with us. He went out and married somebody out of another holiness group, which is not wise to start with. But the bottom line was, I don't know who got the other off track, but they got to reach into the world. And they started posting pictures on Facebook. I went all there to get to this. Posting pictures on Facebook, and Rebecca said, Carl, look at this. And our hearts began to sink. And their love began to wane for God. And they began to go the other way. Where iniquity doth abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Yeah.
Oh, it began to pull him away. And he actually done something that I still shake my head at. I still can't believe he done what he done. But he done quite a horrible thing. And his wife stayed with him even though he done this. And the children still love their father even though he done that. I don't know what the children know, but the bottom line is, it was horrible. And it all started Listen, you don't know how far sin will lead you. You don't know how far that you'll go. If you start backing off of your love from Christ and the world begins to attract you, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, you fail me. Peter, you've done things that you shouldn't have done. You put the most ardent, vocal, open testimony. Well, I'll go even to prison and even unto death. But he got down to it. He wouldn't do it. Listen, folks, it'd be better us not to say a big lot of things and do it than to say a lot and not do it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Peter done all these big things. Well, this young man used to say he loved the Lord too.
Yeah.
But now he's far away from God. Oh, today, is there anything out there that's beginning to pull you? Is there anything out there that's beginning to get your attention? And you're kind of maybe backing? Listen, it don't take very much. Brother Edward Allen used to say, if the devil can get the door open with a piece of chewing gum wide enough, he can start spreading it from there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, when he starts spreading, if you and I don't see ourselves real quick and say, Lord, I love you, bam, and shut the door, we're going to get in trouble if we're not careful. Because the Lord, the devil's going to spread that door open more and more. Lovest thou me more than thee? Is there anything out there, anything that's attracting you, anything that's trying to get your attention? Listen, the devil wants things to look like they're no harm. But when you pull the cover off of it, it's a lot worse than what it looks like. So consequently, lovest thou me more than these? Anything? I could name a whole lot of stuff. I'm not going to do that because we're running out of time. But lovest thou me more than these? Lord, help us tonight. It said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then it said, what? Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yes.
And another scripture said, do unto others as you have them do unto thee. So bottom line, all of that floats on love. All of it works on love. And consequently, if we'll do those things, and we love the Lord, we'll be willing to do what we need to do for Him. Give up what we need to give up for Him. There are people that have made statements, especially sisters. I don't know about brothers, but I've heard this on sisters, and particularly some that just didn't really want to be real close on dress. And they say, well, I don't want to go to a sister meeting because all they talk about is dress. Lord, help us. If everybody measured up, wouldn't have to talk about it. Wouldn't have to talk about it. You wouldn't have to say nothing if everybody measured up. Except maybe to the new ones. But oh, they don't like that. Listen, is there anything that the Lord is trying to get to you and trying to pull you and work with you? And you're going, If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. The bottom line is, if we love Him enough, we'll do it. All right, let's finish. Revelation, 2nd chapter. 2:1. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them, which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Now, in a lot of ways, this congregation looks pretty good. The Lord's listed some things here. But then He said, nevertheless, what did Jesus say in the garden? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He said a nevertheless too. But here, the Lord used it against this congregation. I have somewhat against thee. I know you've done good. I know you've worked. I know you've labored. I know you've tried them. I know you've done all of these things. But nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love.
Yes.
Is that a serious charge? Why? Why is it a serious charge? Leave thy first love. The whole thing operates on love. And if we have a first love, we're going to be more susceptible to do everything the Lord wants. And if we begin to back off of that, things begin to slow down and change a little bit. You know, you got that couple first in love, oh, they just all goo-goo-eyed at one another, so to speak. Well, the same way with the Lord. They can't do enough for the pastor. They can't do enough for the congregation. They can't do enough for the Lord. Anything He wants them to do, they do it. But they start backing off from that first love. Mm-mm. Things can start moving the wrong way. So they've done a lot of good things, but the bottom line is the thing that counted the most they had backed off of. Didn't say they lost it, said they left it. They've done it on their own. If I've got a $20 bill in my pocket and I lose it and I don't know where it's at, that's one thing. But if I bring a $20 bill and put it on the altar and walk out the door, I walk off and leave it voluntarily. I know what I've done. They said Aristotle of Nassus, he wrote off about $15,000 a year just in lost change and bills. That's more than some people make years ago anyway. Maybe not now, but the bottom line is you left it. You didn't keep it. You didn't keep working with it. You didn't keep it fired up. Listen tonight, if we're not careful, the Lord can say this to us. You've lost. No, you're not lost. You've left it. You've walked away from it. Lord, help us tonight. When marriages start getting in trouble, it's when they begin to walk away from their first love. And that fiery, that real close. So love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. How much do we love God tonight? If you had a scale of 1 to 10, where would He put you at? Where would the Lord put you at? He knows our heart tonight. He knows where we're at. This is a meeting for Fresno. He's coming by one more time. Spending time one more time. Where are we at tonight? We appreciate your time, your attention, and prayer. Pray for me.